Part A. Directions. In Part A, you will hear short conversations between two people. After each conversation, you will hear a question about the conversation. The conversations and questions will not be repeated. After you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and choose the best answer. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the question and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Number 1.
I think taking the bus to campus is more convenient than driving through rush hour traffic.
Yeah, except that I always find all the seats taken by the time it gets to my stop.
What is the woman's problem? Number 2.
Tell you what, let me take you to the comedy night show at the student center tonight.
That sounds like fun, but I've promised Anne to accompany her to the bookstore.
What will the woman probably do tonight? Number 3.
I'm taking Dr. Fitzgerald class of statistics this semester. Any advice you might have for me?
Well, just make sure you don't get on her bad side.
What does man mean? Number 4.
Would you prefer tea or coffee?
Either is nice, but I'd appreciate something cold for now.
What will the man have? Number 5.
What's the best way to get to the shopping center in the town?
Well, bus or taxi can get you there quickly. But it isn't too far to walk.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 6.
Excuse me, Professor Nelson. If it isn't bothering, I'd like to consult you about my thesis.
Go on, please.
What does the man mean? Number 7.
Are you saying Dr. Pittman didn't give you an extension? He's always kind to us students.
He told me it was not his decision to make.
What does the woman mean? Number 8.
Sam just submitted his thesis proposal this morning.
It's about time he did.
What does the man mean? Number 9.
Bob failed another driving test. He just texted me.
Not again.
What does the woman imply? Number 10.
Have you applied for a new job?
No. I'm supposed to wait until my contract is up.
What will the man probably do? Number 11.
Sasha practically just told me that she believes the earth is flat.
You don't mean it.
What had the woman assumed? Number 12.
Could you tell me when Professor Tamara will be present?
I'm afraid no, but I think I saw a sign on her office door.
What does the man suggest the woman do? Number 13.
I think we shouldn't delay to pitch our idea to the dean any longer. What do you say?
I couldn't agree more.
What does the woman mean? Number 14.
Dr. Hillman asked me to let you know that he allowed you to do a project for extra credit.
Thank you. That's exactly what I want to hear right now.
What is the man probably going to do? Number 15.
Did you not get the message I left on your answering machine?
Yes, I'm sorry. I've been meaning to reach back to you, but something keeps distracting me.
What does the man mean? Number 16.
I can't believe you got an A on literature final exam. It looks like you're the only one who did.
Not quite. There were a couple of other A's in Dr. Ashikoff's class.
What does the woman mean? Number 17.
Phil is still nowhere to be seen.
So, I figured. Let's just hope he doesn't forget about the final exam, which is only in next week.
What can be inferred about Phil? Number 18.
I need a book about the history of psychology.
All textbooks of any subject can be found on the far right shelves of the store.
Where does the conversation likely take place? Number 19.
Larry doesn't seem to want to hang out with us today. Is he upset about something?
If he were, he'd tell us. We're his best friends.
What does the woman say about Larry? Number 20.
Oh no, I forget to submit my application for the scholarship. The deadline seems to be this morning.
Let me look into it for you.
What does the man mean? Number 21.
It's been a month since I took the GMAT test and I still haven't received my score. Do you think I should call the language center?
That's hardly necessary. GMAT score is usually given 6 weeks after test administration.
What does the woman think that the man should do? Number 22.
I wish that you could come along with us. It's been a while since we hung out together.
I'd go with you guys if I could, but I got to go back to class. I can't miss a test.
What is the man going to do? Number 23.
Have you decided when you'll meet with Mr. Griffin?
No, but I really cannot put it off any longer.
What will the woman probably do? Number 24.
Are you ready for the final exam?
I sure am. I've never crammed this hard on a subject before.
What does the man mean? Number 25.
This assignment isn't due until next Friday.
Yes, I know, Professor. But I wanted to hand it over ahead of time. If that's all right, of course.
What does the woman mean? Number 26.
Excuse me. I need to see Professor Thompson. Could you tell me where he is?
He should be in his office at this hour. Make sure you check with his secretary before going in.
What does the woman suggest the man do? Number 27.
I really want to withdraw from this course. I can't take it anymore.
Why don't you just try to get used to it? You know you must complete it if you want to graduate.
What does the woman say about the course? Number 28.
What do you think about Professor Hill's literature class?
Well, I think Miss Hill herself is a great person to work with, but the class just turns me off.
What does the woman mean? Number 29.
I've read the copy of your paper. It looks good to me. You should just submit it already.
Thank you, but I'd rather make one more draft.
What is the man going to do? Number 30.
Why would Tommy want to go home for spring vacation now? It just doesn't make any sense.
Yes, especially considering that the graduation is only 1 month away.
What does the woman mean? End of part A. Part B. Directions. In Part B, you will hear longer conversations. After each conversation, you will be asked some questions. The conversations and questions will be spoken at just one time. They will not be written out for you, so you will have to listen carefully to understand and remember what the speaker says. When you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and decide which one would be the best answer to the question you have heard. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the problem and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Questions 31 to 35. Listen to the conversation between a woman and a man.
Dr. Franco, thank God, I can see you here. I thought you wouldn't be present knowing it's not one of your office hours. I'm sorry, sir. But if you have the time, I'd like to talk to you for a couple of minutes. My name is Miranda Blackhill and I attend your 9 o'clock introduction to psychology class.
Yes, yes. I think I remember you, Miranda. You're the one who always sits near the window, aren't you? So what is it you want to talk to me about?
There's an urgent situation in my family that requires me to be there for at least one whole week. In that case, I don't think I will be able to go to your class on Tuesday and Thursday. But assuming everything goes well, I think I can be back to class by next Monday.
Okay. What is it you want me to do then?
I know that attendance is one of the factors that you take into account for final scoring, and I don't wish to get a low grade because I have to be away from class for family matters. I am hoping that you can excuse my absence. If you think an extra project is necessary to cover my not attending your class twice, I'll be happy to do it.
That's all right, Miranda. I can understand that you have to be away for family matters. Besides, you've never missed my lecture. You've never been late, in fact. You want an excuse absence, you say? Well, consider it done.
Thank you, Dr. Franco. A friend of mine has already agreed that she lend me her notes for those two classes as soon as I come back here. I will try hard to catch up.
Good. But in case you have a hard time understanding your friend's note, don't hesitate to discuss it with me. I'll be happy to give you further explanation in the few minutes before class on Monday.
I really appreciate it, sir. I think my friend's notes will be sufficient, though. We've studied together for some time now. I thank you again for the excused absence.
You're welcome. Whatever it is that concerns you and your family, I hope it's dealt with well.
Thank you, sir. That means so much coming from you.
Number 31. What class does the professor teach? Number 32. How long does Miranda intend to take a leave? Number 33. What does the professor remember of Miranda? Number 34. What does Miranda ask to the professor? Number 35. What does the professor offer to Miranda? Questions 36 to 40. Listen to a phone conversation between a man and a woman.
Do you know anything about working in a library?
Well, I've never been a librarian, but in the last 5 months, I've spent a good deal of my daytime in the library. You see, I'm working on my thesis for my master's degree, and I need to collect as many references as possible to support my research. Oftentimes, I would spend 3 to 5 hours in a library. But on less busy days, I could stay up to 8 hours.
So, you know how our electronic search equipment works here?
I believe so. There are a number of databases in the library that I used regularly to review the sources I quoted in my thesis. So I'm quite familiar with your search equipment. Spending long hours in the library has certainly helped me be.
That's nice to hear. Is there anything else that you can think of to help you fit better with the job?
Yes. I have a bachelor's degree in education and 5 years of experience as a high school teacher prior to continuing my study for a master's degree. I learned from the ad that you need someone who can work well with students and gladly assist them to find references for their term papers using the digital catalog. With my knowledge and experience as a teacher, I think I can fit in very well.
Excellent. Now let's talk about the hours. This job requires at least 20 hours of your time each week, and even though it's not very long, the hours are often irregular. On some days, you might start at 9 in the morning and finish before noon. On some others, you might have to spend the entire afternoon here because every now and then one of the majors would send their students to the library for orientation, so when the time has come for them to make their first term paper, they'll know what to do. Do you think you would be able to cope with that, considering you're working on your thesis?
Certainly. I have finished my research, actually. So, right now I'm just wrapping it up together, and I can do that after work or in the weekend. I believe the working hours will not interfere with my finishing my thesis.
What about your study? Don't you have any classes to attend to?
No. I've completed all the required courses. All that's left before I can graduate is my thesis. So you see, I have a lot of free time.
That's great. If the board chooses to accept you for the job, when could you start?
Immediately. I can even start today if you want.
Number 36. What is the purpose of the conversation? Number 37. Why does the woman spend much time in the library? Number 38. What did the woman do before pursuing her master's degree? Number 39. What makes the woman qualified for the job? Number 40. When can the woman start to work if she is accepted? End of Part B. Part C. Directions. In Part C, you will hear several talks. After each talk, you will be asked some questions. The talks and questions will be spoken at just one time. They will not be written out for you, so you will have to listen carefully to understand and remember what the speaker says. When you hear a question, read the four possible answers in your test book and decide which one would be the best answer to the question you have heard. Then, on your answer sheet, find the number of the problem and fill in the space that corresponds to the letter of the answer you have chosen. Question 41 to 45. Listen to a monologue delivered by a man.
Can anybody tell me what an alloy is? Nobody. Well, that's okay. We haven't discussed the slightest bit about this matter, so let's just get started. An alloy is a combination of metals or of a metal and another element. Take gold, for example. When used for jewelry, gold is usually mixed with silver and some other metals. They're melted and mixed up together to form an alloy. Stainless steel is also created in a similar way. It is a mixture of iron, chromium, and nickel. These metals mix up perfectly to become alloys too. You might wonder now, why we make these alloys? Why don't we use any of these metals in their purest form? There's a reason for that, of course. You see, the thing with alloys is that they tend to have better qualities than the original metals that compose them. For example, an alloy of gold would have better properties in terms of its strength and luster than the unmixed gold, which is the reason it's used for jewelry. Another example is the aluminum alloy that is used to construct an aircraft. A pure aluminum plate is light, which is exactly the property you want when building an airplane, so that you don't use too much fuel to lift it to the air. However, a pure aluminum plate is also very weak. The pressure when the airplane is on flight can easily damage it. So, what do? We mix aluminum with copper and other materials. The resulting alloy is still lightweight but strong enough to withstand the stresses of flight. If you look at a metal through a powerful electron microscope, you can see the atoms inside arranged in a regular structure called a crystalline lattice. Imagine a small cardboard box full of marbles, and that's pretty much what you'd see. In an alloy, apart from the atoms of the main metal, there are also atoms of the alloying agents dotted throughout the structure. In other words, it's like seeing a cardboard box full of marbles with some plastic balls arranged randomly among them. Now let's not confuse alloys with impure metals. While both are mixture of metals, impure metals are created accidentally with no regard of the exact proportion or the end purpose. Alloys, on the other hand, are created deliberately. You need to be precise how much a certain metal is used to form an alloy. Otherwise, you won't get the properties you want of it.
Number 41. Which is an example of alloy? Number 42. What can be inferred about unmixed gold? Number 43. Why are aircrafts constructed using aluminum alloy instead of pure aluminum? Number 44. How is the atom structure of an alloy illustrated? Number 45. What is the similarity between impure metals and alloys? Question 46 to 50. Listen to a lecture delivered by a woman.
On January 18, 1778, the English explorer Captain James Cook, along with his crew boarding two legendary ships, the Resolution and the Discovery, became the first European to discover the Hawaiian Islands when he sails past the island of Oahu. He landed at Waimea on the island of Kauai and named the island group the Sandwich Islands, in honor of John Montagu, who was the Earl of Sandwich and won his patrons. At first, Cook and his crew were welcomed by the Hawaiians, who were fascinated by the European ships and their use of iron. Cook provisioned his ships by trading the metal with the natives. They were described as short, strong people with a well-organized social system. The men fished and raised crops, including taro, coconuts, sweet potatoes, and sugarcane. The women cared for the children and made clothing loincloths for the men and short skirts for the women. He only stopped briefly through before continuing his way north to look for the western end of a northwest passage from the North Atlantic to the Pacific. Almost 1 year later, Cook's two ships returned to the Hawaiian Islands and found a safe harbor in Hawaii's Kealakua Bay. In his second visit, he noticed that the Hawaiians somehow saw them as a mortal deity. Apparently, Kealakua Bay was considered the sacred harbor of Lono, the fertility god of the Hawaiians, and at the time of Cook's arrival, the locals were engaged in a festival dedicated to Lono. Cook and his compatriots were welcomed as gods and for the next month exploited the Hawaiians' goodwill. However, their mutual friendship soon took a sharp turn when one of Cook's crew members died. The Hawaiians came to realize that the Europeans are mere mortals just like them. After that, their relations became strained. On February 4, 1779, the British ships sailed from Kealakekua Bay, but rough seas damaged the foremast of the Resolution, and after only a week at sea, the expedition was forced to return to Hawaii. This time, the natives were not very friendly to them. Instead of open arm and smile, they welcomed Cook and his men with hurling rocks. They even stole a small cutter vessel from the Discovery, forcing Cook to negotiate with King Kalaniopuu to return it to him. They never came to an agreement, unfortunately, as one of his crew member shot a lesser Hawaiian chief in the middle of negotiation. The Europeans and the Hawaiians battled each other, and in the midst of it, James Cook was killed. His crew was forced to retreat, yet they managed to retaliate a few days later, using guns and cannons before going back home to England.
Number 46. What were Hawaiian Islands once called? Number 47. What does the speaker say about the Hawaiians? Number 48. How did the natives act toward the Europeans in their second visit? Number 49. What caused a tension between the Hawaiians and James Cook's crew members? Number 50. Why did James Cook return to Hawaii for the third time? End of part C.